The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I am going to just introduce what I feel like I really want to pursue, something I really want to go after in the next however long that God allows it, but it's something that's going to take all of us. It's something that is going to include all of us as a body. If you're visiting here, welcome. We do bless you, but this is really something that's a passion in my heart right now, and it's been stirring in my heart for us as a body. How many know that there's more to being a local house, being a church, than marking time? There's more to being a body of committed believers to one another and to the Lord Jesus Christ than building a kingdom of our own. It's not a matter of building this church. It's about building the kingdom. And the way we do that, is really an adventure. There isn't a pat formula. I read different magazines and stuff that talk about building churches and outreach and all these things, and they're really, really good for some people. But for me, it doesn't work. That's not where it's at. I don't want to pursue somebody else's path of success. Now, maybe that's okay for some people, and there are, it works for some people, and people are being saved all over the planet, and the kingdom's being built through that. What I'm saying is it's not right for me. And if you've been a part of this house for any length of time, you understand that it's not right for us. That as a tribe, we are people that are pioneering something that we just can't run the way other people have run. And yet we honor how other people have run. It's not that anybody else is bad or that we're better. That's not it. That kind of thinking is anti-kingdom. I refuse to have anti-kingdom thinking. But nevertheless, there is something that God is calling us to that, and it's not just for the sake of us. It's for the sake of the bigger picture. It's for the sake of the kingdom. It's for the sake of a Joe and Becky that are running hard out in Traverse City, Michigan. It's for the sake of the church down the road that is just learning how to pray for the sick and just learning how to experience the gifts and that, and that we can have a part in encouraging, without competition, other churches in the city. And there's this thing about building a kingdom that is so critically important. And with that in mind, I'll be honest with you, from time to time, I really wrestle with what do we do from Sunday to Sunday? Why do we come together from Sunday to Sunday? And why do we do what we do on a given Sunday? Now, I love what we have. I love all the prophetic words this morning. Which one of those prophetic words would you have liked to have said, we don't have time for that? Which one of the prophetic songs that were sung, even though maybe they didn't have the greatest explosion of musical excellence, but there were raw hearts just singing, which of those would you do away with? Mm-hmm. I won't do away with that stuff. I, for the sake of being a professional pastor or having a professional church, I will not. There's got to be something more real and something more raw, and it isn't having the latest, flashiest whatever to make a proclamation. I tell you, the gold is in your hearts. It's in the people. The gold that has to be put on display is something that is sit in the seats from Sunday to Sunday. Sorry, this is just a big deal to me. For those of you that don't know, for many months, when we knew the transition was going to take place between Bob and me, I needed the word of the Lord. I can't go on other people's word. I can't go on other people's affirmation. If you've ever been in a situation of making a major decision in life, you just understand that you need the word of the Lord. Nothing else will do. And I wasn't getting the word of the Lord for months as the process was taking place. And I was hearing confirmations everywhere, you know, through the elders, through leaders, through prophetic words. But I didn't have the word of the Lord to my heart. And I'll tell you, when the word of the Lord came to my heart, it was about 4 or 5 weeks before it was supposed to, the transition was taking place. And I remember standing in this pulpit. It was actually a wooden pulpit at that time. But I remember coming and putting my Bible down and looking over the congregation. And I heard one word. The word I heard was possibilities. And it was so quiet. It was so quiet. It was so, I could have missed it. But when that word came to my spirit, I realized that that was the word of the Lord. How many know that? One word, one syllable from the heart of the Lord is worth volumes of man's opinions. And I heard, what I heard was possibilities, and immediately I saw the body of Christ becoming gold and jewels and silver. I just understood that I'd be spending the rest of my life doing something to pull the gold out of people. To pull the giftings out of people. Understanding that the power of the kingdom is invested in humans. It's invested in people. And it's invested in a people that many times don't have a voice. I was so glad to hear you, Becky, running with what was in your heart. I believe one of the things that God's doing right now is he is setting women free to run with the full authority of the kingdom. Lacking nothing, not taking a second place, but running alongside with where there's men and women running together with the fullness of who God's created us to be. I'm so thankful for that. There's different voices in this house that we need to hear. All of that goes into my thinking. You're entering into kind of the inner workings of this, you know, the way I think and the way I pursue and the way I take responsibility for pastoring. It's not a simple deal. I wish I could figure myself out. Anybody here wants the challenge? I got a couch. But in that, I'll tell you, I want to know, okay, so God, we've got 2 hours out of a week that we come together. And this is an important coming together. This isn't it. I like to say the meat and potatoes of life happen out there. This is just the dessert. We get to come together. But this is a critical time. And I'm going to be teaching on this. I'm going to be going after this a little bit, biblically, scripturally. This is right now I'm speaking to you from the depth of my heart. I'm speaking to you from a place of maybe brokenness, a place of a longing. Just knowing there's more. That tension of loving what God has done, being grateful for what God has done, thankful, but knowing there's more. And what do we do from Sunday to Sunday to position ourselves for the more? And I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. I know this. I know that everything's on the altar. This word about expectation that came today is the word of the Lord. The problem is you will never find expectation if you don't open the door to adventure. My son, Steve, and I'm out of time. My son, Steve, if you follow him on Facebook at all, that's his thing, is adventure. And this guy does crazy, crazy things. He spent a week and a half on the back of a dirt bike riding through the jungles of Laos and Thailand and Laos, trying to get to a village that hadn't heard the gospel. And with people that just had this in their heart. And they got there, they only had a half hour to touch base. But they touched base with who they needed to touch base with. And because of political reasons, it's a communist country, that they had to leave. But they did what they were assigned to do. The motorcycle, his dirt bike, actually, Steve's a good rider. One of the better riders of the group that was with them, and another guy kept falling. And he, I mean, because it was treacherous. This was really, really tough riding. And the one guy fell so much that his bike ended up getting broken, and it wasn't running right, and they couldn't get full power out of it. And so Steve says, "Well, listen, I'll ride that bike because, you know, the other guy needs something that is running right." And so for 300 and some kilometers coming back out of the mountains of Laos, he had to hold on to another motorcycle to pull him up the hills. And, you know, angelic presence. There was a point in time where his bike hit the back wheel of the motorcycle that he was holding on to, and they're going 50 miles an hour. And it immediately threw him into the line of oncoming traffic. He says, "Dad, I don't know how." He says, "Both my shoes are scuffed up because I hit both sides." He says, "I don't know how we made it out of that." Well, I know how he made it out of that. I mean, there is angelic presence. And I just say that because it seems like, do you catch the flow of the river this morning? Are you catching the flow of the river through worship? Are you catching the flow of the river through the prophetic words? Are you catching all I get to do is I get to be an interpreter and a traffic cop of what's been happening today. But I tell you, there is a call this morning to take some steps of adventure. And in those steps of adventure, expectations will grow. The people that don't have expectations are people who are not willing to pay the price of adventure in unsurety. Nothing's guaranteed except the word of the Lord. So, as I'm preaching over the next handful of months, and I preach one more time this month, I think next month I preach once. Know this, I'm going to pursue, and will you pursue with me? This thing of, what are the possibilities of a people coming together with one heart and one purpose, one intention, to see His kingdom come, to see His will be done on earth as it is in heaven? See, that's the vision. All the other visions pale. Now, there's subvisions to the vision, but here's the core. Here's the thing. Unless the king comes with his kingdom, we're flattening our fannies on the pews in vain. I know that was really mean for a pastor to say. What are the possibilities of a people who, with one voice, are caught up in worship and in adoration of the King? What are the possibilities of a people that will love each other enough to lay down our lives for the sake of the one next to us? What are the possibilities of a people who have adventure in their heart for something that hasn't necessarily been seen on the face of the planet? Jesus, help us. Lord, it's your good pleasure to give your kids the kingdom. It's your good pleasure. You delight in a people who will risk everything. Fame, fortune, reputation. Selfish desires, preferences, personal agendas. A people that will honor you, a people that will love you and be loved by you, a people that are willing to step outside of some kind of a self-contained religious box that we've built and we call it spirituality. A people that can find the greatest security in being insecure. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Lord, we're not going to take foolish risks. We're not going to take stuff just to be different. That's not the point. The point is for people who will love you sincerely and be obedient to you. And the accompanying joy of walking in that kind of intimacy, that kind of an adventure, that kind of sincerity, that kind of truth. Lord, we know that even these things are beyond our ability to do. But we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. And we're going to see your kingdom manifested through the whosoever's doing whatsoever, wheresoever. So we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Hope I didn't scare you. We have prayer teams. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. We have people that are just loving Jesus and are equipped to release the power of the kingdom. If you need prayer for something emotional, physical, whatever it is, I want to encourage you with this word. You know, I really just bore my heart this morning, and I just pray that there be rest and peace over the body. Sometimes an intensity that I've had time to process, and I've just laid it out to a bunch of people who will be processing it. And I just pray grace and peace on your souls and on your spirits. Amen? If there's coffee out in the lobby, just love on somebody. Give somebody a hug. Prayer teams, come on up. Bless you.